Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, I hope everyone has had a nice weekend so far. It's early Sunday afternoon, about 2:30 Eastern. And of course, this is the weekend general market newsletter. These weekend newsletters tend to be very comprehensive, especially if you're new here. They tend to be about an hour long, anywhere from 70 to 100 charts. So very comprehensive because we cover not just the shorter term analysis like we do on the intra-week newsletters, but we go into the bigger picture, you know, in foreign markets and all kinds of stuff. So we really like to take a good look at things. The newsletters also tend to be quite educational, especially if you're newer to technical analysis. You get a really good education just following along here. If you look at the top, there's a couple different tabs. There's the original player, which the newsletters open by default, where the newsletter is one long audio and we reference the charts, the numbers on the upper left-hand side so you do not get lost and you can see what chart we're on. There's also the new player where you can skip around and listen to the audio per individual charts. Again, for newer members, I suggest you just listen to the whole things. As you can see by the table of contents, we have seven parts to this newsletter. So again, quite comprehensive here. One thing, I'm going to discuss the SPY Pro system. Wasn't sure if I should put it in a newsletter here or not. Could have made that a separate thing. But if you know, I have made major changes to the SPY Pro system. And I also want to discuss how we're going to trade this going forward. You know, how we're going to do options, how we're doing the ETFs, et cetera. Just to clarify all that, I still have more work to do on it. If you go to the SPY system section, I still need to really flesh that section out with more detail, but it is in a point where it should be a lot clearer what's going on there and how we're going to do that going forward. Again, as you can see below the table of contents, I do have some text here. You know, just a few paragraphs of text. But again, by far, you know, I'm going to cover everything in the charts below. So make sure to listen to that. I'm going to talk about our longer term analysis, which again, our view is that we entered a bear market. We've been talking about that since early October. We think the market hit a significant top in September. We had rising wedge patterns. You know, we had you had quantitative tightening from the Fed that helped accelerate things. And so the market has basically been in a bear market. And this whole decline from the September highs has really been the first leg of the bear market, what we call initial wave A. Okay. So longer term, we do believe the bear market will go into next year. We'll have some sort of oversold rally as a major wave B that should last several weeks, perhaps, or maybe even a little longer. That'll ultimately form a lower high, then we'll sell off again to new lows next year in some sort of C. And perhaps that'll end the bear market, we'll see. But again, we do expect more bear market action next year. In the short term, we probably put in a major wave A low of this initial bear market decline last week on Christmas Eve, which is pretty crazy that Christmas Eve was so weak. It was the weakest Christmas week ever for the market in history. So we think an initial wave A low was put in for this bear market. Again, it's not set in stone. We could simply be a fourth wave action here and then go down again for a fifth wave to make a true low. That's definitely possible, as I'll show below. But we do think some sort of low was perhaps put in because of the indicator extremes. As I've been talking about, all these indicators hit these extreme levels over the last week, such as the percentage of stocks above their 20-day EMA, 50-day moving average, 200-day moving average, sentiment extreme indicators got way out of whack, such as the CNN Fear Index. CPC hit all-time highs. The number of new lows indicators hit major highs. So a lot of things tended to point to some sort of bottom. But one thing I'll show below, guys, is that while you, in the past, when those indicators hit extremes, while you tended to get some sort of market low there, it wasn't the bottom most of the time. Most of the time, weeks to a couple months later, you'd make new lows. And that supports our longer-term bear market case. Okay. Again, if we have some sort of low here, the market should chop its way higher, but it should be choppy. It's not going to be an easy time. You know, we're going to have a lot of chop up and down movement. And again, it's been a very volatile 2018. Think about it. We had two major corrections this year, really. We had the big correction in February where the market indexes fell about 12%. Then we rallied up and the market indexes were up, you know, anywhere from 11 to 15% this year. Then, of course, we had a huge correction this fall into Christmas Eve. And the market's now down for the year. So it's been a huge up and down roller coaster. Remember 2017, we had the lowest volatility in history. Steve and I are on record for stating that 2018 would be very volatile, and boy, was it ever. And we also expect 2019 to be very volatile. Anyway, without further ado, let's get started here. First off, I'm going to discuss the SPY Pro system before we get into the market analysis. So that's image number two below here. So the image at the top is actually taken from the website, the SPY systems section. If you go to the systems section, the system's actually flat and in cash at the moment. And if you look below, I have two of the last live trades. Okay, remember I've retooled the SPY Pro system. I've taken out some of the less probable subsystems. So there's actually less trades now in the system, but they're more high probable trades. And these are the two, you know, recent trades. Now, if you look, there's a couple losing trades here, but overall, we have, you know, the system here has made money if you followed it this way. So the first trade, the bear long back on November 21st, was a losing trade slightly, you know, lost about a half percent on the ETF. The option lost 1.7%. The last trade was the QELE oversold trade, which had three entries. The first entry was negative, lost about 2.5% on the ETF. The second entry was basically flat, as you can see on the ETF there, while the third trade was a nice big winner. Okay, made 9.75%. As you know, I'm sending out option trades for the SPY system. So if you look below, the options, again, the options actually did pretty good here. The second entry was basically flat. The third entry made really good money, which again, took back any losses from the previous. But as far as money management, how I'm doing this, guys, is for the options, for the first and second entry, I do basically the same number. And for the third entry, I double up. You know why? Because the third entry is such a high probable trade. That's why you see 1-1-2 there. Again, I just use that as a base. So if you're trading this, you know, you might, you know, let's say you're trading 10 options. Well, then you do 10 for the first entry, 10 for the second entry, and 20 for the third. Again, that's your choice, something you have to decide if you're going to do that or not. For ETF, we're using SPY for the first entry, SSO for the second, and UPRO for the third. That's for the longs. And for the shorts, we're using SH for shorts for the first entry, SDS for the second entry, and SPXU for the third. Okay. So as you know, SSO and SDS are two-time leveraged ETFs, and UPRO and SPXU are triple leveraged ETFs. I'm also using the same dollar amount here. So as you see here, I'm using basically $10,000 for each entry on the ETF. So that keeps it easy. And also, that also allows it where you're having extra money in the second and third entry positions, which makes more sense because those are higher probable trades. Anyway, system's flat. And below this, you can see a couple charts. The other thing I did is I separated the SPY system into longs only and shorts only. So there's essentially two systems, two SPY systems. The reason why I did that is because I think they both complement each other. Someone asked me, hey, why is the system not hasn't been shorting? It actually has. If you look here, look at the shorts. There would have been two shorts this year already in November and December, November into December. But they were covered up if they were all on one chart because the system was in longs at that time. So I think it's a better idea just to have a longs only and a shorts only version because they will complement each other. There'll be times when they're overlap and you'll get some basically hedging. And of course, that'd be easy to do with ETF or with options because, you know, you'd be doing call options for one and put options for the other. And for the ETF, it's easy as well because we'll be in different ETFs, right? We'll be in SPY and SH or SDS and SSO. So I hope that clears it up. Again, my hope and my changes with the SPY system will really be easy to follow and finally, you know, have a decent, you know, have a good year for 2019. I expect volatility in 2019, so hopefully the systems can catch that. Anyway, guys, enough of that. Let's move on to the market newsletter. So item number 3 below shows the index sector table and what transpired last week and on Friday. Friday, the market was up, but lost a lot of those gains as it ran into resistance. And you can see sort of a bifurcated market there with the Dow, S&P down, and the NASDAQ and Russell up. The Russell actually beat for once, up 0.46%. For the week, again, gains across the board, despite the big sell-off we had on Christmas Eve, which we think was some sort of low. S&P and Dow up 2.9 to 2.75% respectively, NASDAQ up 4%, and the Russell up 3.5%. As far as the major market sectors for the week, every sector was up except utilities. So it was a very broad-based rally off the lows, and utilities were down, which is good, because remember, utilities have sort of been a safe haven, except for the last week or so, and money rotated out of there, continued to rotate out of there, which is good. So again, pretty solid gains across the board for the index, for the sectors here, anywhere from, you know, 3 to 4%. Now, as far as sector charts tonight, guys, to keep the newsletter shorter, I'm not going to go over all the sector charts like I typically do. We're just going to look at one chart with 10 sectors on it. So that'll save us some time. Currency-wise, U.S. dollar, nice pullback for the week, down 0.6%. Remember, the dollar's had a rising wedge, perhaps on a weekly. That's starting to play out a bit. And as far as commodities, crude oil still down about 0.6%. It's still trying to find a bottom. It may have one in place. It's got a weekly doji candlestick. We'll see if we can reverse this week. Natural gas down 11.9%. So big dump there. Copper slightly up. The ags are kind of mixed. I'm not going to go over a lot of the commodities tonight. I will talk about crude oil and precious metals, though. You can see precious metals had a good week, especially with that pullback in the dollar. Gold up about 2%. Silver come roaring back up almost 5%. Gold stocks, however, are lagging here. GDX only up 0.8%. That is a concern of mine, guys, because in the past, gold stocks have always led and are not. So they need to start leading here. Otherwise, I worry that this rally in the metals could be short-lived. Below bonds, TLT up about 0.3% and high yield corporate bonds up 1%. Next, item number 4 shows the economic news calendar. Remember, we also have a shortened week. The market is closed on Tuesday for New Year's. And for Monday, I think the cash markets are open. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the bond market closes early at 2 p.m. Of course, for the market here, you know, you have the big jobs report on Friday, you have ISM, and of course, we have the government shutdown stuff, etc. All right, let's go ahead and move on. So since we just looked at news items, let's actually look at some of the longer-term economic charts. I haven't looked at these for a while, and I like to just pay attention to them once in a while. No major changes here, but I'll go over what I'm seeing. So chart number 5 below, here's the monthly chart of the unemployment rate. And you can see it ebb and flows over time. You know, one couple of useful indicators I've found for predicting the unemployment rate is the ROC indicator above tends to go above or below zero. You can see that tends to catch tops and bottoms actually very well. You can see it caught the bottom in unemployment rate when it went over zero. And that's when the market really, you know, the economy really started tanking. The unemployment rate went sky high up near 10%. The ROC indicator went over zero. The other thing that seems to work is a simple 5 and 9 exponential moving average cross. Notice that? It's not perfect. It's not going to catch the exact bottoms or tops, but it does a pretty damn good job here. Okay. Also, the PPO indicator below, that's the very similar to a MACD. Anyway, notice here again, you know, no change in trends. This thing topped out in 2010. You know, the ROC indicator fell below zero at that time. The 5 EMA fell below the 9 EMA. And an unemployment rate has been declining since. And there's no change here. 5 EMA is not even close to going over the 9 EMA, et cetera. But I will note there is some divergence here on the PPO. So it is something to pay attention to over time. Also remember, this is delayed by about a month. You can see this is as of November. So this only updates about every month. Next, chapter 6, here's the producer price index, PPI. One thing I noted here is it's starting to dip here. Notice that? We did have a dip back there in 2014 into 15. And as you know, the market had sort of a mini bear market then. You also see a dip, of course, back there in 2008. So that is definitely something to monitor. You know, not a showstopper or anything, but the fact it's starting to dip here is something to monitor. Next, chapter 7, here's the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Obviously no changes here, still remains very strong. But you can see where the market had a little dip back there in 2015, again, where we had some slowdown in the market. And of course, obviously back in 2008. Finally, chapter 8, here's the gross domestic product. Obviously no changes here. Had a big expansion here recently. Makes sense after all the tax cuts and all that stuff. You know, the GDP has been very strong. And of course, you could see in the past when it dipped in 2008, very logical. So that does it, guys. Again, no changes there. We'll keep an eye on that unemployment rate and the producer price index. Let's move on to the charts. Chapter 9, here's a weekly view of the five key major indexes. Again, you can see the major tops that formed in September. You know, we think those were significant tops. We've been calling a bear market since. And you can see the hard decline we've had this fall. It's been basically in two phases, sort of a complex ABC type correction. And again, been a very volatile year. Think about it, guys. We had a big correction back there in February and into March, really. So it's been a lot of up and down this year. Anyway, nice rally back last week. Major indexes up anywhere from 2.7 to, you know, almost 4%. So nice rally back last week after Christmas Eve. Next, chapter 10, here's the yearly chart of the major indexes. Again, we have one more trading day, which is Monday. We'll see how we close out, but you can see so far for the year, solid losses to the downside. Again, we are well off the lows. We were looking at about 10% moves down as of Christmas Eve, but the Dow down 6.7% now for the year, S&P down 7%, NASDAQ and NDX, of course, still holding up better. NDX is only down 1.7% now. The Russell still down almost 13%. So that's still very, very weak. And DBC commodities down about 12%. Clearly, even Monday, if we have a big rally up, we're still going to end up down for the year, except perhaps on the NDX. But still, big roller coaster ride. And those aren't pretty yearly candles, especially on the NDX. Look at that big shooting star doji candlestick and on the comp. Next, chapter 11, here's a monthly view of the major indexes. Again, we have come off the lows. So major indexes are down anywhere from, you know, about 10% or so or a little less on the monthlies now. You can see the S&P tagged its lower monthly Bollinger Band, which is pretty crazy. Next, chapter 12, here's a look at the quarterly charts, which are just ugly, ugly candles. Finally, chapter 13, here's a daily chart of the five key major index. Again, you can see this complex ABC type correction we've had since late September, early October. As of last week on Christmas Eve, which again was the worst Christmas ever, you can see how price was below the lower Bollinger Bands for four consecutive days. That's a very stretched oversold condition. So not surprised we had a snapback rally. You can see last week we rallied back essentially to the 9-day exponential moving averages. That's the magenta or red moving averages here. And we found some initial resistance here, which you'd expect. All right, let's move on. Let's look at the larger charts. So chart number 14, here's a monthly view of the S&P. It's a chart I've been showing for a while, this Santa Claus end of year type thing. Remember back in early December, I stated that we're in a bear market, so December should end up a down month. And I didn't expect it to be this big of a down month. Again, it's off the lows, but you know, we're still looking at almost 10% down on the S&P. So my call worked out. And again, that definitely supports a bear market. You can see the S&P tagged its lower Bollinger Bands on this monthly chart. Got pretty close to its uptrend line from 2009, which is crazy. Again, a lot of things here signal bear market. The MACD cross in the monthly chart, again, while not perfect in the past, it's been a pretty damn good exit. We're well below the middle Bollinger Bands. That's another one, you know, et cetera. A lot of things here. The ROC indicator well below zero. RSI divergence at the top. Next. Chart 15, here's a weekly view of the S&P with the 200-week moving average. So it's a super long moving average. Again, we all know the 200-day moving average. That's a 200-week moving average. That tends to be sort of a loose long-term support and resistance. And you can see we actually tagged that last week, which is pretty crazy. Next. Chart 16, here's another weekly view of the S&P. Again, this is the chart I've been showing for a while, that we had a clear five-wave uptrend completion in September. That's why Steve and I think we're in some sort of bear market. That was a completed pattern. We had MACD divergence. Again, you also had supporting fundamental analysis, especially the Fed, with the Fed removing or doing the quantitative tightening and increasing that to like $50 billion a month in the fall. Remember, the markets are all about liquidity, guys. When there's excess liquidity, it goes into assets, it creates bubbles, it pushes price up, and when it's removed, those prices come down. And that's what's really exacerbated the sell-off late this year. Again, the market was also in a very long-term bull market, you know, almost 10 years. So it was due for that. So this is played out. You could see we marked the initial decline as initial wave A in purple. If that is in, we're now in some sort of wave, intermediate wave B up, which again should be choppy. It's not going to be straight up. It could last in the early next year. It could last a few weeks. It could last a couple months. One possible target here I show is maybe retesting this broken trend line above, but ultimately should form a lower high. Then we sell off again next year to new lows. It's also possible we don't make new lows. We make a double bottom, like a flat. You could also form a triangle. But either way, expect some sort of lower high early next year. Again, last week we had some MACD, we had some RSI divergence on all the weekly indexes and sectors. So that's playing out, not surprising. But this is our best guess at next year, some sort of lower high and then sell off again. Next, let's talk about the 401k system. So chart 14, here's the S&P paint dry 401k system. So as you'd expect, it's red. It's actually been red most of December. The problem, what sucks in my opinion, is that since this is a monthly chart, it's turning red after such a big decline. It was going to turn red, as I stated, below November low. Okay, but the problem is the price is way down here now. Now, one thing you may want to consider looking at, again, remember, I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't advise you guys on what to do. You make your own decisions. But since we are oversold here and we do have perhaps a wave A low, initial low, you could look to exit longer-term accounts on some sort of rally, you know, wave B like I showed you just above. Maybe on a rally up, the 2 RSI indicator may get overbought. For example, look back in 2008 when that BPTMA went red. Over the next few months, you then had at least a partial bounce that caused the 2 RSI below. Again, that's a very fast RSI setting to get overbought. You could look for something like that, you know, versus exiting here. Just a thought. Next. Chart 18, remember I've been discussing these 401k systems over the last month. I actually have more. While on the website I just showed the S&P, I have these longer-term systems on all these other markets, such as the technology, triple Qs, international, emerging markets, commodities, small caps. And remember, I've been stating every other thing has been in cash for quite a while. You know, look at the triple Qs. They exited in October. International exited in June this year. Same with emerging markets. Commodities at the bottom, middle bottom, exited earlier this year. and small caps exited sometime around October, it looks like. So the S&P is the only one that stayed long. And again, it's exiting at the end of the month here. So it should be exiting on Monday. Next, moving on to the daily and shorter term charts. So chart number 19, here's a daily view of the S&P. And this focuses on symmetry. So again, we had that rising wedge into September. We had that initial sell-off. Then we had that hard bounce from October 29th to November 7th. That was 212 points. You see that in red and blue. We sold off again. We had another bounce into December 3rd. That was 169 points. Then we had the big sell-off all the way into December, 24th, Christmas Eve. And we've had a bounce last week. That bounce last week is 170 points. Amazingly, very similar to the bounce point-wise that we had into December 3rd, which is 169 points. So that's a perfect symmetry move. You see that's why I have two colors here, the larger one in blue, the smaller one in purple. So logical area there where we found resistance. You see that? That's how symmetry is very useful. It's very useful to use as price targets. And also when it's broken, it's usually, that can be bullish or bearish. So logical rally last week into symmetry, and that's where we pulled back a little on Monday. So again, these are the symmetry moves to break, guys. Ultimately, it would be bullish for the market, short term anyway, to break these longer term symmetries here to really establish higher lows. Still ways to break that one in blue, but again, Friday we hit that initial symmetry move and found resistance. Next, chart 20, here's another daily view of the S&P. This shows you that potential wave count we've been talking about, where we've had this complex ABC type correction. That our best guess is that the initial wave A low was put in on Christmas Eve, and we're now starting some choppy uptrend move up. Okay. Again, Friday's move stopped at that symmetry, as I just showed you above. This is a logical place for a pullback anytime in here, or if we push a little higher, the declining 20-day moving average. But again, I expect it to be choppy, so I'd expect some kind of retracement here sometime soon. Okay. The more bearish view in the short term is that in red, where this is simply a fourth wave bounce and we're going to come down again into wave five. That's still very possible, guys. I view that as less likely at the moment just because of all the extremes and the indicators we've seen over the last week. So might still favor that the wave A low was put in, but again, you never know with this market. All right. Next. Chart 21, here's another view with the moving average configuration. So you can see here where I have a scenario where you'd pull back maybe here, then push up again. You can see we stopped right at the 38% fib on Friday. Maybe we pull back here sometime soon, push up higher into those fibs. That would be my, that would be my preference. We'll see if that occurs. One comment on the moving average ribbon above, you can see how those are great guides whenever they're pinch. But look, after last week's rally, look how far the moving averages are still away from each other. That's both a positive and a negative. The positive is that this still allows for quite a bit higher prices, say in that initial wave B higher, to get those moving averages to come a little closer together. Basically, things were so stretched, oversold, that even with last week's bounce, it barely affected that moving average ribbon. So hopefully that makes sense. So my hope is we chop our way higher here over the time in this wave B. Next, chart 22, here's the daily pivots. Again, we went through, last week's bounce went through a lot of little pivots. A lot of them were close together there. You can see the next pivot resistance is 25.25. Next, chart 23, here's a 60-minute chart. This has the moving average ribbon as well. Again, you can see the move up last week. We ran into some resistance here at the 38% fib. You can also see the other resistance areas around the 50% fib. There's a big level two at that horizontal line around 25.80. Next, chart 24. Here's a 30-minute chart with the moving average ribbon. That went slightly positive as of Friday. Again, this is a great example of symmetry. I talked about it last week during the week. The largest move in December was a 102-point move. We were watching that for symmetry. That was broken on Wednesday with the big market rally. We had 120 points. That told us to look for a higher low, which we got. You see that symmetry break, then higher low. So if you were astute and you noticed that symmetry break, you were looking to buy that pullback on Thursday, and it'd be a nice trade. We pointed that out in real time. Next, chart 25 is a 15-minute view. First off, you can see that big resistance area up around 25.30. That matches the December 17th and 18th lows. You can see the symmetry break, higher low, which found support near that 61 fib. And you can also see a symmetry move to the upside. Notice how the first legs were basically equal to one another. You see that? The initial leg up on Wednesday, and then the leg up from Thursday to Friday was the same when we pulled back. So great examples of symmetry. Next, chart 26, Russell 2000. Again, off the lows last week. Managed to still close up on Friday. Actually closed at its 9 EMA. That's another thing, guys. Everything was so stretched below, oversold last week as of Christmas Eve. We were due at least for a snapback reversion to mean bounce back to the 9 EMAs. And we got that last week on the indexes. Next, chart 27. Here's a 60-minute view of the Russell. You have a potential wedge here. It's not ideal. There's no MACD divergence, but something to monitor. You can see the resistance levels above at 136, 139, and 141 are the next resistance levels. Should we pop higher here in the short term? Next, chart 29. Here's a weekly view of the Dow. This shows you that 200-week moving average. Remember, that's been a long-term support and resistance on the Dow. And we didn't tag that on the Dow. We did on the S&P, but not on the Dow. Again, that's a longer-term target of mine. I think it'll be hit in 2019. That's still a ways below. Next, chart 29, here's a zoomed-in view, shows you the same thing. Again, I think next year we will tag that 200-week EMA or moving average, and I think we'll undercut it at least slightly. Okay? Maybe a target for the Dow next year will be somewhere around the, 18,000-19,000 range. Next, chart 30, here's another weekly view of the Dow, shows you some long-term targets, etc. Next, chart 31, here's a daily view of the Dow. I really like this chart. Again, in December, we lost this upper trend line, which was kind of a weak support. It was connecting the February lows, April lows, etc. That was lost, and we were entered a big thin zone. Market sold off hard into that thin zone in December, and it fell all the way to that big support below, as you can see. Then it bounced, hard bounce last week into that trend line, which is now resistance. Logically, finding some resistance there. Next, chart 32. Here's a closer view of that chart again. Shows you how we rallied right into that trend line, became resistance. Also, this shows you the symmetry moves. So the one in purple is the smaller one. The bigger symmetry move is that one in late October and early November of 2,156 points. The smaller one is the 1,711 points into December 3rd there. So this last rally, 1,617 points, essentially the same as that one in purple. It's a logical area that it pulled back from. Next, chart 33, triple Qs. Again, nice rally back last week. But notice the trend line above is resistance, that little broken trend line. You could see the rising wedge that was in place as of this fall that has really played out. Next, chart 34, triple Qs daily. Again, price rallied basically back to the 38% fib. Again, you can see I marked symmetry. So far, this move only about just over 12 points. So no symmetry breaks here. Next, chart 35, here's the NASDAQ daily. You can see it rallied back to the 38% fib. There is a trend line channel resistance here. Next, chart 36. Here's a zoomed out view of the NASDAQ. Again, you can see there is a bigger resistance area above, though, at that other trend line around the 6,000, 6,830 level. So that's still a ways up near the declining 20-day moving average. That does it for the major indexes, guys. Let's move on. Chapter 37, here's a daily chart of the 10 key major indexes, from the transports to financials, energy, technology, you know, consumer staples, utilities, you name it. Again, to save time on this newsletter, I'm not going to go over all these individually like we normally do. You can view these. Again, most of them look the same. They've had logical bounces off last week's lows. Next, moving on, looking at a few world markets, Chapter 38, here's the Australian index. Last week, I showed this in a falling wedge pattern with MACD divergence, and you can see it's starting to have a nice rally here. The wedge still targets higher, as you can see. EWA is the tradable ETF on that. Next, Chapter 39, German DAX also has a wedge-like pattern here with MACD divergence. Again, most of this stuff is likely to rally if we rally up. Next, Chapter 40, China Shanghai Index. No changes, still in the same long-term downtrend channel. Next, Chapter 41, here's Bitcoin. Just an update on that. Had a little bounce in December coming down here, but it looks like a little inverse head and shoulder pattern. Let's take a look at that closer. Chapter 42, here's a closer zoomed in view. You could see a potential little inverse head and shoulder pattern forming. Again, you know, Bitcoin's crazy. Hell of a pop in that bubble this year, obviously, at least from the, you know, December highs last year. You know, short term, we'll see if this little inverse head and shoulder can play out or not. Next, let's look at various market indicators. Chapter 33, here's the VIX. So the VIX spiked up to just over 36 last week, and I was wondering if it was going to go higher. But one thing I pointed out is the 5 or 7 RSI you see at the top here tends to get, when it gets over 90, it tends to have short-term tops. You could see that back in February, and you can also see it last week on Christmas Eve. Next, Chapter 44. Here's an example of the VIX, you know, back in 2015-16. You can see in August when that RSI went over 90, that was a top for that VIX as well. Next, Chapter 45, here's the VIX back in the 2011 correction. You can see when the VIX topped out over 90, or that was a top in the VIX. So the fact that the VIX spiked over 90, I mean, the RSI spiked over 90 last Monday on Christmas Eve, was a good indication the VIX was topped there. Next. Again, we had a Chapter 46. Here's the NASDAQ new highs, new lows indicator. That fell below the 50 EMA in August. This tends to be a very good long-term indicator of bear markets. Again, as long as we stay in this bear market, I don't expect this to go back over the 50 EMA for a long time. Next, Chapter 47, here's the put-call ratio. As you know, this spiked to an all-time high on the previous week, up to 1.8, that had never hit that high. Again, as I stated in the opening comments and last week, a lot of these indicators hit extreme levels. Okay, so here's CPC, as you can see, but it's actually come down now near complacent levels. Next. Chapter 48, here's the CPCE, that's the equity options put call ratio. And this is way down here at 0.44. So, you know, these two CPCs have went from extreme, you know, readings, overbought readings, now to oversold or complacent readings. So take note of that. Maybe a logical place for the market to pull back some, as I showed you above, how the indexes on the dailies basically tagged symmetry moves and 38% Fib retracements. Next, Chapter 49, here's the percentage of stocks above the 20 EMA and the S&P. Again, this hit 0.02, which was an extreme. You can see, again, it's only been lower than this twice, once before, which was 2011. Even 2008, it didn't go lower than this. At 0.2, that was one stock. Multiply 0.2% times 500, you get one stock. That's Newmont. Next, Chapter 50, here's the percentage of stocks in the S&P that are above the 50-day moving average. Again, this hit an extreme on Monday. Hadn't been that low since 2011. and of course 2008. Now, one thing, study this chart, guys, and this is kind of part of my opening comments. Whenever these indicators have these real extreme levels, you tend to get trade bottoms. You know, take a look at 2015, take a look at 2011, take a look at 2008. You tend to get trade bottoms there, but look what happens most of the time. You get an initial trade bottom, rocket rallies up for several weeks, couple months, and then you sell off and make another low. You can see that in 2008, 2009, 2011. You can see you had a low there, market rallied up, came and made new lows. You had it happen in 2015 and 16. And you had it also happen early this year in 2018. Market came down and made another low there. So odds kind of favor here that we have a trade low in here, but that any rally will form a lower high and will come down and make new lows sometime next year. I'll show you more examples of this below. Next. Chart 51, here's the percentage of stocks in the S&P above the 200-day moving average. This fell to about 11% last week. Again, extreme lows. Next. Chart 52, I meant to have this near the percentage of stocks in the S&P above. But again, this just shows you those times when the indicators spike to extremes. You'll get a trade low, but then you'll make a new low sometime after several weeks, couple months, like here, 2011, you made that initial low in early August. Price bounced up, but then you made a lower low in October. Next. Chart 53, here's the percentage of this is the S&P new lows indicator. This spiked very extreme on December 24th. You also had its extreme spikes in the percent in the new lows indicator for the NASDAQ and the NYSE as well. Next, chart 54, here's a zoomed out view. Again, you can see the spikes, but again, just like I talked about above, you tend to get trade lows when you get these spikes, but many times you'll get a new low later on. Next, chart 55, here's that new lows indicator back in 2008 timeframe. But you can see what happened. You tended to get trade lows there, but then you tended to get new lows later on. Next, chart 56, here's another view of that. This is back in 2015 and 16. You can see the same thing. So these extreme spikes in these indicators do support a trade low in the market, but they do also suggest we're likely to make new lows in the future. Hope that's clear. Next, let's take a look at the FANG stock, chart 57, Apple, Crapple, if you want to call it. That head and shoulder pattern obviously played out. Over a 37% correction from the highs. So far, we've had a bounce back to the 9 EMA. Now, guys, as far as a trading environment, Steve and I have not been putting out a bunch of short-term trade ideas in the market. Why? Because the market is so volatile here. It's just not worth it. You cannot swing trade stuff in this environment. Now, some of you asked me, if we do have a trade low, could you be long a couple of these FANG stocks with a stop at the lows? You could be. You know, that's your prerogative. So like an Apple, if you're long and you want to have a stop at the low there, if you think the market put in a temporary low on December 24th, you can do that. Next, chart 58, here's the monthly view of Apple. Again, hell of a correction from those highs. Look at that parabola move, how it ended. Long-term, Apple may be going down to the 120, 130 range. But I imagine we'll get a bounce here, maybe starting now. Next, chart 59, here's a weekly view. Apple almost corrected, almost got pretty close to that 61 fib down there. So heck of a retracement. Next, chart 60, Amazon, also a big correction this year, down 36.5%. But it was surprising, Amazon is still up for the year. It shows you how big of a run it had this year. Next, chart 61, here's the weekly view of Amazon. Again, you can see it's still up for the year. That shows you how much it was up. It was up like 50% this year, which is just crazy. Next, chart 62, Google. Last week, I mentioned that double bottom support. So again, as I stated, some of you, if you took advantage and you bought Google last week near the double bottom low, you have a good price. You could decide now if you just want to give a stop wide room. If we're in some sort of wave B bounce, I don't expect this will come down to the retest the lows immediately. So that's your decision. Next, Sharper 63, Facebook or Facebook was down 44% from the highs. Again, it had a bounce off here off support. It's still in this downtrend channel though. Next, Sharper 64, here's the weekly view. Remember this big long-term support horizontal line I had drawn? Amazing, we actually went down to tag that area. And I said early this year, if that uptrend channel was broken, it would be very negative, and boy, was it ever. Anyway, we do have some weekly divergence on the RSI and CCI indicators now. Next, Sharper 65, Netflix, probably one of my better look, one of the better looking stocks technically, falling wedge pattern. I mentioned this last week, and it did bounce up. So again, this is one maybe you could be long with a stop. All right, moving on to the bond market. Sharper 66, TLT, this continues higher. It's still finding support at the 9 EMA, so that's something to keep an eye on, guys. It's still perhaps bull flagging. Next, Sharper 67, here's the weekly view. You know, as you know, it broke that downtrend line the previous week. That is longer-term support. Next, Sharper 68, here's a 60-minute view. So far, the 60-minute still looks bullish. You have a MACD recycle here. As you can see, my arrow there. This is an area where this could try to pop again. Next, Sharper 69, high yield corporate bonds. Very similar action to the general market indexes, S&P and Dow. Rallied back to the 9 EMA, basically, from a very oversold condition. Next, Sharper 70, 10-year treasury yield. As you know, long-term rates have been falling. That's, of course, had the effect of the tightening yield curve, which has yet to go negative. This wedge does measure lower. We put this wedge out earlier this year, and it's definitely been playing out. However, I do think it will find long-term support. Let's take a look at the next chart, Sharper 71. You can see this. This chart goes back to 1980. You have a 31-year downtrend line here. I'm expecting that to hold the support on a pullback, but it's still lower, as you can see. Next, moving on to commodities, Sharper 42, weekly view of crude oil. Hell of a correction this year, as you know. But last week, doji candlestick, we have 5 RSI divergence, CCI divergence. So this could be set up for a bounce. You can see how it tagged this longer-term support area. Next, Sharper 73, here's a zoomed-in view of the weekly crude oil. Again, look at that big doji candlestick. The divergence, one long trigger would be taking out the high of the doji just over the 47 area. Next, Sharper 74, here's the tradable ETF USO. Again, you could have a, if you wanted to play a weekly chart, you could have a long trigger at the high of the doji. Your long trigger would be 993 and an immediate stop at the lows at 922. That would be a trigger if you're willing to play a weekly chart. You have a trigger here. Initial target would be the 9-week moving average. Next, Sharper 75 UCO. This is the triple long ETF. So if you want more leverage in ETF, this would be your trigger. Again, remember, it's volatile. It's a triple. So your long trigger would be 14. Your stop at the lows at 1219. That seems quite wide, I know. But remember, it's a triple ETF. And this is a weekly chart. Next, Sharper 76. Here's the daily view of crude oil. Again, we did bounce off a low last week. Still haven't been able to take out the 9 EMA, so that's your big resistance. If we can clear the 9 EMA, I think we could say a low is in, but we need to clear that 9 EMA. Next target would be the 20. Next, Sharper 77, the bullish percent energy index, BPNR, still down at 3.3%, so it's still very low, guys. Energy stocks are very cheap at this point. Next, Sharper 78, OIH oil services, that's been the hardest hit energy area, oil and gas, still below its 9 EMA. Next, Sharper 79, XLE energy, we've had a bounce up here, but man, it's got resistance way up here at that August 2017 lows. Next, Sharper 80, copper, weekly view, really just chopping around here. I'm not going to go into many of the other commodities tonight like the ags. So let's move on. Jarber 81, sugar, haven't shown this for a while. Still looks bullish here, honestly, this consolidation of the last several months. Next, moving on to precious metals in the U.S. dollar, chart 82, weekly view of the dollar. You can see this rising wedge with the convergence we've been showing for a while starting to play out. Next, chart 83, here's the daily view. For now, moving averages are still bullishly stacked, but notice they're pinching right here. This is an area where the dollar could try to bounce if it's going to recover. Okay, the moving averages are either going to start moving back up on that ribbon, or they're going to continue lower and cross bearish. Next, chart 84, gold weekly view up 2%, so nice move. Again, this the bigger picture that I've been showing really for the last couple of years is this large rounded bowl type pattern, and that's held as support. I talked about that in the fall when gold had the big sell-off. I said to monitor that, and it did hold, so it continues higher. Long-term resistance is still way, way up there in the 1370 to 1390 range. That's still ways up there, guys. Next, chart 85. Here's another weekly view of gold. So just monitoring the fibs here. The move up is nearing the 61.8% retracement. That's a possible sticking area, resistance area to monitor. Next, chart 85 or 86. Here's the daily view of gold with the moving average configuration. Again, always a good guide, the moving average configuration. Clearly, gold's been uptrending here. It's been choppy since August, finally having a better move here, as you can see. Next, chart 87, another daily view of gold. The only concern I got is the GDX-GLD ratio. The stocks have not been leading here in the last couple weeks. You can see it's sort of trending down here. That's got to change, guys. If the stocks don't start to lead here, we can see a pullback soon in the metal. Okay? I followed this stuff for too many years to ignore that. Next, chart 88, weekly view of silver, nice pop up 5%, took out that resistance area, not surprised. Next, chart 89, monthly view of silver. Long-term resistance is that downtrend line here. Breaking that would be actually quite positive for you gold bugs. Maybe it could make it all the way up to 26 area. That was previous long-term resistance. Or previous long-term support is resistance now. But at first, it's got to clear this long-term downtrend line here. Next, chart 90, here's the daily view again. Not surprised it took out that horizontal level below. That was a pretty bullish horizontal rectangle pattern. Closed to the 200-day moving average. Next resistance is around 1560. Next, chart 91, USLV, that's the Ultra Silver ETF I mentioned last week is a long play. It's obviously playing out. Next, moving on to GDX and the gold stock, chart 92, weekly GDX. GDX, as you know, bottomed in September. We were looking for a bottom there. We had a doji candlestick, and it's moved up here. It's been more of a choppy manner. Formed a big inverted camel last week. So gold stocks here in the short term, again, GDX only up 0.8% for the week. So that's lagging, guys. The metals were up much, much stronger. So unless the gold stocks start improving here, we could be looking for a short-term pullback in this area. Next, chart 93, here's the daily view. Again, look at this action in GDX. It's been finding resistance at that upper channel line every time and pulling back. Unless the stocks start rallying strongly here, the metal may start to pull back. The stocks lead, guys. Okay, whenever the stocks are not leading, that always makes me nervous. I've watched this too many years. Next, chart 94. Here's a 30-minute view of the GDX-GLD ratio. That's something to monitor in the short term. You can see it's been downtrending for the last couple weeks. Next, chart 95. Here's the BPGDM. That's the bullish percent gold miners index, the Rinko chart with the one box size. That's a guide to monitor. It's obviously still on a buy signal here. It needs a MACD cross and, of course, a parabolic SAR sell to go on a sell signal. All right, guys, that does it. Again, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see how the market reacts. I see that there's some news from Trump on trade talks, positive news. Maybe the market futures will gap up tonight. We'll see. All right. So I hope you enjoyed the newsletter. These things take a lot of time to put together. Have a great Sunday. Take care.